As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I started making a documentary about pigeon racing, I didn't think we'd end up talking about sex on the radio.
I said to you before, two ways of motivation are food and sex. Food is good, but you don't want to be starving them. They motivate better to sex, like all men. You know, like they know the things you'll do to go, when you know you're on a promise. You know, the things you'll do to get that. So, same for all animals.
Or that I'd be told to wait at a Belgian train station to meet a pigeon agent.
Hi Ian, how are you?
Nice
to meet you, yeah. Thanks very much for coming down.
No problem, it's my pleasure.
Yeah. Or that an exploding rocket could be part of any pigeon race, especially here on Pilmore Beach in Cork.
Is there no way? That won't go, that won't blow out.
It's early August 2016, just after 8 a.m. That cooing noise in the background is the sound of 9,000 racing pigeons waiting to be released. This is like All-Ireland Sunday for pigeon men, and John O'Brien is about to light the fuse on a rocket.
Yeah, well, we'll see now.
He's been working towards this race all summer.
Here we are.
It's a loud old bang, so watch your ears there.
There you go. One bang.
We started following him in May before he started chasing pigeons and his dream around Ireland. And we didn't think we'd be talking about doping and big money deals either.
Right, buddy. Don't mind any of that stuff. We just run in and we get that in a minute. We get these fed on in.
Come on, buddy.
The road to Pilmore Beach begins at John's home in Clondalkin. It's June, 6 weeks before race day. John is 31, his partner is Donna, and they have two small kids, JJ and Robin.
Yeah, bring your Ninja Turtle, yeah?
JJ is fanatical about Ninja Turtles, and John feels the same way about pigeons.
Having the feeder boards.
Yeah, just give me 1 second, buddy, I just have to get it out, okay?
John was made redundant last year.
Well, take a smell of that. That's what they're bathing in, like, you know. It's lovely. I nearly have a bath in that myself. It's all Epsom salts and stuff like that, but it's pigeon, poor pigeons, like, you know.
Right now, he's a stay-at-home dad who washes kids and pigeons. But he's hoping to breed future champions by pairing off some of his best birds.
This cock here, today I'm disgusted with him. I think he's gay. Because I'm not disgusted because he's gay, but I'm disgusted because I'm not going to get an egg over. And now I was told that it could be because his penis isn't big enough, say. So I trimmed the vent feathers here, cut all these feathers out, and then cut his tail feather. Because when they're mating, the hen will sit down, the cock will jump on her back, and they go in sideways. And he can't get it in there because of his tail feathers are either too long or if so, cut the tail feathers a little bit and cut the vent feathers.
Sometimes these efforts at matchmaking, they don't always work out.
He should be loving life at the moment and getting on top of her every 5 minutes. But as I've said, I came out the other day and there he is sitting down on her, getting on top of her, getting on top of him. So I don't know what's going on, but she hasn't got the bits to do it. And he's definitely a cock, you know, and she's definitely a hen.
And John doesn't have a monopoly on these stories. Close your eyes, stick a pin in a map, and he won't be far from a pigeon loft in Dublin.
Do they stay with the one partner, or do they kind of
Did it go with who's ever free on the night?
Funny enough you asked that one, is the hens are all as faithful, but the cocks are not.
We thought the capital's narrow gardens would give a wide view.
The YouTube has a kind of more details of what to look into the eyes, but still, like, someone like me, I just still can't get my brains around how to pick those spots in the pigeon eyes.
This is Salim Khan. He lives just down the road. He's new to racing and John's helping him get ready for the season. On Pilmore Beach on race day, Eugene Fitzgerald and John are pulling open a map.
They'll be to the east of the Comer Mountains. They'll be coming up east of the Comer Mountains. They'll actually be going nearly through Waterford, New Ross, heading up that way.
Eugene is the president of the Irish Homing Union and they oversee pigeon racing in Ireland.
I'd reckon Ballymore, Finglas.
All depending on how west the wind actually is. If the wind's heavy on the west, they get pushed out more.
More to the
south. If it's more south, they'd stick to the motorways and it could be one on the south side. That's how it's one on the south side. Yeah. You know?
They're waiting for the organiser in Dublin, Henry Byrne, to give the all clear to liberate the birds, as they call it.
Just depends on where
they're flying this area, in this direction.
And debating what route the pigeons are going to take. This isn't idle chat, it's critical information. A conversation they have every time they race with air traffic control in Dublin.
We tell them what time we're releasing at. We tell them what time they'll be hitting Dublin trucks. So they inform all the flights. And they also inform to other regional airports. So they know exactly, tell the pilots to watch out for flocks, you know what I mean?
Did he give you an idea what time he's going to go at?
This is Mick Warner. He's in charge of the liberation and anxious to get the birds away. He wants to know if there's any word from Dublin.
I was talking to him about 7:10 and he was saying to me, like, what's the weather like? Get him to go on the weather. So he said, start getting ready.
Five weeks before the race and John is going about his morning routine.
Yeah, all your brekkie, bud. Pick that up, bring the plate in, good boy.
It's always the same. He brushes his teeth and gets the kids fed. Then he goes straight to the pigeon loft to check on his birds. Making JJ his breakfast, that's the easiest part of the day.
Yeah, I'll make a cup of tea, will I?
And the cleanest. He's checking pigeon droppings. When they're solid, it's a sign of good health.
This is perfect. Round droppings with a white cap. Perfect. Perfect droppings. All perfect. All along here, all perfect.
And if they're going to win, they need to be in this kind of condition.
So that's his health there. See this line around here, this colouring. You want that shining. The wattle on his nose, this white part of his nose needs to be clean and white, which it is. Perfect. You know? The inside of his mouth is nice and pink. The wing, you want full. Right? Now, if I put it up to the light, see there's... Actually, see the tiny little pinholes here? That's a parasite. It's a small little parasite that feeds off their wings, but it puts little holes into their wings, you know? You know, I'd be looking for all that, and I'd be saying, do they need a drop of ivermectin on the back of them? She's one or two there, along there. None up the top, though. You know? I won't hold her too long. I don't want to stress her out too much. Like, you know, she's sitting on eggs, so...
Getting a pigeon ready to race takes the right mix of food, grit and medicine.
Now, we're going to feed the stock boards, yeah? So we'll go... Bit of that.
But the wrong mix could lead to a lifetime ban.
Well, is this their press, is
this
it?
This is the pigeon press, the magic pigeon press. I have garlic granules. There's a little bit of meds here. P3, that's a probiotic. After a medication or something like that, I'll mix that in with either GlycoBoost that has glucose, garlic, and a few different oils in it. This one here is pure garlic oil. It's called Luckily.
And before he races, John needs to check all his medicine against the list of banned substances.
So when you're buying your medicine and your food stuff, you have to check.
My meds are over here. Most of the stuff that... the pigeon stores or the vets will give you will be not will not be banned, but the likes of this calcium penetrate or whatever you call that, I'm looking through here. I'm happy enough to say that all these brands, like Giantel would be a big brand, Frasers would be a big brand.
You're working off the same.
Oh, they would know. They would have that list now. And a lot of the drugs did change. A lot of them did change, and the bottles and all changed that they're in. Like, you know, after this came out.
4 weeks before the race, and I'm on my way to meet Eugene in Ringsend. But first, I stop into Salim and his wife Nolene's shop on Moore Street.
You won't send him out again then?
Yeah.
Salim moved from Bangladesh 19 years ago and he's in his first year racing pigeons.
Nolan.
Hiya, how are you?
That's Robert from RT.
Robert.
RT.
Robert, the third man of Alcatraz.
He and John are members of the same club in Clondalkin, only they're much younger than most of the other members and they often use social media and YouTube for training tips.
That's something to do with a bird now, is it?
Yeah, just trying to see what John put it up. Warning, geomagnetic storms. What is that?
Training has evolved. It's become more scientific. But training a pigeon to race against a motorbike would surely raise a few eyebrows.
Pigeon is following the owner.
So he's on a motorbike,
yeah,
doing about 70 kilometres an hour or
yeah,
more, and a pigeon is flying beside him.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? Just flies beside him on the motorbike.
On Pilmore Beach, Henry Byrne is called from Dublin with a start time for the race.
Now, sorry for interrupting that. I just want to let you know, we're going at half eight.
Half eight, okay.
We're going at half eight.
Okay, no problem. So we're going to go at half eight.
They thought fog might delay the release, but conditions are perfect.
The mountains, they're just clearing. There was a bit of fog on them there earlier on. They're cleared. That is good, yeah. There's no wind. The fog is lifting.
This is the hardest part now. Now you're talking about pigeons getting out early.
And you can feel the anticipation.
Like a day we're standing here now, the sun is beaming down, like looking out at Cable Island. We have something to look forward to today, like, you know what I mean? But I mean, like, every man is in his lofts today. Everybody's waiting. There's only going to be one winner, you know what I mean? But like, the best man will win at the end of the day. What you put into the sport, like, is you get out of it, like. Do you know what I mean?
But there's something else to think about. Hawks nest in this area and they have a bit of form when it comes to attacking pigeon races. If this happened, it could scupper John's chances.
Sometimes you do hear them, like, you know.
Is your hawk?
Yeah. It's not that. That's not it. I definitely thought I heard it.
It's mid-July and we're in Eugene's kitchen in Ringsend. He's a taxi driver, so his phone is always ringing. Runs to the airport, spins to Black Rock. Lost pigeons?
No, no. Hello? How's it going, Christine? Did you catch the bird?
In the world of Irish racing, he's seen great champions like Jimmy Cullen and Joe Dorney.
No problem, bye-bye.
And the introduction of GPS for every loft from Donnymead to Dundrum.
We can check every fella's loft on the computer without going to his house. It's easy, racing to the right loft.
He's plenty of love for what the sport used to be in Ireland, and he's some concern for what it's becoming outside of Ireland.
In the 60s there now, most people would be on their bikes, and the basket pins on the back, and each club would have their own little space on the back platform. You'd mark the pigeons, put them in the box, and be talking to all the fellas from different parts of Dublin, bring them around and put them into two carriages. Then they released them, and they hadn't really got many telephones. There's no weather forecast. He looked up, the fella in Dublin looked up, It might have a little bit of information in between, but we hadn't got forecasts like we used to have nowadays. Like, released them. But we always got the birds home. Whatever it was about the birds, always come home. Nowadays, they get lost, they don't come back.
Pigeon racing now is a big deal in China, where businessmen are racing for 6- and 7-figure sums. Usain Bolt made headlines this summer, but a pigeon called Bolt made headlines when he was sold for stud for more than 300,000 euros.
Only a fool would pay that money for business.
They're buying birds from Belgium, the country with the biggest tradition of breeding champions.
Just because you paid 100,000 for a young bird or a pigeon doesn't mean he's going to win. How many horses has Aidan O'Brien bought and they're only the end of hurdlers or jumpers or something like that? It didn't work out. Still a small guy, a small little backyard, and paid nothing, well beaten. A lot of fellas are buying Belgian pigeons now and they haven't been improved here. I think it's the environment. They're not acclimatised to the environment. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's something to do with the environment anyway.
Are you from the Christy Moore country? Christy Moore,
yeah. Like lots of Irish fanciers, some of John's birds were bred in Belgium. Only the most he'd pay is a couple of hundred euros. I wanted to see how the two worlds compared, John's Belgian Blue versus Bolt. So I went to Ghent in Belgium to find out.
You're going to?
Ghent.
Ghent, okay.
An agent from the auction house that sold Bolt collected me from the train station.
Hi Ian, how are you?
You made
nice
it.
To meet you, yeah. Thanks very much for coming down from
No me. Problem, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, is it much of a drive?
It's like a 30-minute drive.
Hello. They're called Pigeon Paradise or Pipa, and this is Erwin. He's the IT guy.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Erwin.
Pleased to meet you.
Yeah, pleased to meet you.
Rob.
And he's responsible for analysing all the data on their website. Between now and the race, John will check his phone a million times for weather reports. At the same time, fanciers around the world will log on to check auction bids for champion birds on Pipa's website.
Has there ever been a particular race or a particular time when there's an awful lot of traffic has come into the site and
Definitely.
Like almost crashed the site or whatever?
Definitely. We've had it several times, especially on the Barcelona weekends. And also once during an auction. The auction collected so much attention that we had to postpone it. We had a huge problem with our servers, and the auction was ending on Sunday, and everything went down, and we just had to postpone the end of the auction until Monday. That's what happens.
Eugene says there's over 3,000 members in Ireland. But Pipa sound like they're going viral.
Say your website, what kind of traffic it does, or page impressions
about,
over a year.
25,000 visitors each day on the website, yeah. And on really busy days, we have about 1 million page views in a single day.
1 million page views?
Yeah. But that's on top days, like when there's a Barcelona flight and everybody from the whole world is checking our website to see which pigeon is first.
Has there ever, like, does traffic from Ireland feature on your webpage?
To be honest, I didn't really check. I don't think anything special occurred. We didn't notice.
Eugene's attitude is to go with technology, but I was surprised to hear how close this technology is to making the perfect pigeon.
I did an experiment actually to create an algorithm which determines which pigeon is the best breeder and which pigeon is the best racer. We have no practical application yet for the algorithm, but it is there. Just waiting on the shelf to be used someday. I think the sport is becoming more professional, and there's a younger generation of new pigeon fanciers who raise pigeons professionally. They live by selling quality pigeons, and they spend their days racing pigeons, and them breathing and getting the most out of them.
On Pilmore Beach, the build-up continues. But Eugene isn't happy.
We can't get the rockets here. We're going to get two rockets up. Keep the carabines away. Rockets up.
Any number of fates can befall a racing pigeon. They can be blown off course or collide with power lines. But hawks are an even bigger problem. One attacker could scatter pigeons in every direction.
If there's any peregrine in the sky, we'll frighten them away. The birds will get a chance. You know?
So they've come up with a solution.
Want to do a rocket there? Mick.
And John is by the shore fixing a rocket into the sand.
Yeah, but it has to come out of the ground, like, you know, it has to go into the air. Yeah, well, we'll see now. Here we are.
It's a loud old bang, so watch your ears there.
They hope the bang will scare any hawks away.
There you go. One bang. Very good. See all the boards over there now, all gone. Look. Look at them all gone.
Two weeks before the race, back in Dublin, and Salim is called to say his birds won't be ready in time. But John and JJ are pushing on, driving down the N81 on a training run.
What's your new teacher's name?
That teacher, infants.
Yeah.
There's only one teacher.
There's only one teacher, you haven't got a helper anymore.
They're chatting in the front and there's a basket of pigeons in the back.
We're going to get out of the car now in 2 minutes, okay? We're nearly there, right? You're just a bit tired, are you? You'll be all right. It's a bit warm.
They pull into an industrial estate 20 miles from Clondalkin.
Right, pigeon.
Come on, what do you have it?
Big boy. What? Get the water.
John shows me the line of flight.
But they've been here a few times. They should come out. Maybe do one little lap and go whoomp.
And JJ pulls the latch on the basket.
JJ loves setting them off, don't you, buddy? Now, hatch.
They're away.
Maybe one little turn, look. But they know where they are. And they'll still be home before us.
And so are we.
Right, buddy, jump in there now. Get home before the pigeons, yeah? But no speeding, remember?
Okay.
Not allowed speed, aren't we not?
No. You don't have a race with them.
We're just seeing can we get home before them, okay?
John is trying to find the birds out the windscreen of his car.
How high up would they fly? You know, we've seen them taking off there.
They can go pretty high. All depending on the pressure. Sometimes, all depending on the wind as well. The wind's not, they'd be pretty high today. Pressure's high. See the cloud? The cloud is very high today, like, you know. So it's high enough pressure, but they would go high in that. But all depending on the wind. If the wind is too strong and the wind's against them, they go low and they go between the trees because the wind, they don't like the wind on their wattle, you know. And that's the wattle is how they actually see. They see through their wattle, they feel through their wattle, you know.
At the same time, he's given a race report testing the performance of his pigeons against his micro.
And how fast are we going now?
We're going about 100 kilometres an hour, the legal limit for this road. Maybe a tad bit over it. But they'll be doing around the same. You know, they'll be doing around the same. If the wind's behind them, like my pigeon that came home in 3 hours 37 minutes... Averaged over 80 miles per hour. That's like, what, 140 kilometres. I can hardly get this up to 140 kilometres, do you know what I mean? And the pigeon averaged that. So those points where it went faster, went slower, that's in a straight line. That's worked out in a straight line from point to point, from start to my loft.
But having pigeons and trying to make ends meet can be a tough balancing act, especially when you're looking for work.
Don't get me wrong, sometimes we're broke and the missus will be moaning at me. I can't even afford petrol, like, you know. I can't even afford to actually train them, like, you know. I can't even afford to pay the fella to train them. Sometimes I haven't even got enough petrol to drive up to the fella, you know.
to give him the pigeons. So, you know, it is what it is.
It's Friday evening in Clondalkin, the day before the race. It sounds like we're in a busy supermarket, but the barcodes being swiped belong to birds, not baskets of shopping. John is going to raise 35 birds. There's a chip attached to the pigeon's foot that IDs the owner and records the race time.
There's a chip in the ring. All the numbers correspond with all the rings that we went through. So now, I sign it, he signs it, another man signs it. So it's everything is above board.
Tomorrow afternoon, this beeping sound will signal from back gardens all over Dublin. Most lofts are fitted with a landing pad and they clock the pigeon when it returns.
As soon as it hits the bowler's clock, it goes in every day of the week. But the old system was a grab joke, and you'd be breaking feathers and you'd break this thing. The pigeon got scared of you. And you're losing time, which is the most important thing on race day. Time is of the essence. You don't want a pigeon land on the roof because your friend is clocking down the road and your pigeon's on the roof. You have the winner, but you're supposed to come in. So it's forced in the clock, forced through the clock is the winner. It's the highest velocity. And that's the way it is with him.
What he means is pigeon lofts are scattered all over the city, so the winner is the bird that records the fastest average speed.
They're going to make a film star out of many of these, eh? All film stars.
I just want to know what prize money you're racing for.
There is a few quid, but it's nothing really much. You know what I mean? You'd want to... What would the most be in the open?
Race and what...
In the open, it could be...
At the 104, 468.
That's a couple of hundred quid for tomorrow, but it can be over 1,000 for some of the bigger races. And there's something I've been wanting to find out since we started recording.
And after all the years that you've been in it, have you figured out, like... What is it in them that kind of brings them home?
No. You'd never find that out. Even the scientists tried.
No, they go around in a ring, they do this, they do that. I don't think anybody. We don't know.
Oh, that's a mystery. They have kind of a special sensor in their body.
And another theory is that they have like a dial in their head. This is what we're saying, they feel their way home, so...
In half an hour, the pigeons will be brought in crates and driven down the country in an Arctic truck.
When do you reckon you're going to be loading up, John?
Another couple of minutes.
Next couple of minutes, I'd say. I think they're the last ones to go through. Once they're just about finished, we'll start throwing them up.
Full crate to hand.
Full crate.
Last
hand. 4-3, 4-2-1.
It's the night before the race on Pilmore Beach, and John is reflecting on where it all started. A block of red brick flats on the corner of Bride Street and Kevin Street in Dublin. This is where John grew up.
And the roof as well. See that roof? There was flat roofs. They obviously built onto them, you know. They were all flat because people used to have pigeon lofts up on them. People that were working in the 80s and stuff like that. And, like, people would have went mad if they hadn't got their pigeons. I would have went mad after I got my redundant, you know, if I hadn't got my pigeons. So
his interest in the sport was handed down by his granddad and helped along by a tradition of pigeon racing, once rooted in inner city communities like this one.
See the small little loft? That's as probably as big as they would have been. Some of them would have took up the whole part of, see when you look at here, see from where the door to the window is, that whole part of the veranda. You know, some of them would have took up.
All this is what he's racing for and will be racing against in the morning.
Right, lads. Anyone still keeping pigeons around here?
Pigeons?
Not anymore. God. There's a fella that feeds the pigeons here now. He goes down to Dunn's every morning, you know, your man?
He buys about
10 loaves, 20 loaves each, man. He's mad.
Yeah, he's
you know
crazy.
That fella? I call him the board man of Ivy Trust. And the McCambridge is on a Friday.
yeah, for their special treat.
You know, with that expensive jam.
yeah.
From those little places up in Ratgar.
Yeah,
ah, yeah.
Eugene is on the road to Pilmore Beach. It's the morning of the race and the report of a failed drug test at the Olympics in Rio comes on the radio.
A sucker punch. On the eve of the Rio Olympic Games beginning, reports of a failed drugs test in the Irish camp. The man who will carry the flag for the opening ceremony, Paddy Barnes, provided some reaction from Rio, asking the reporter who broke...
I've been reading up on doping in pigeon racing, and I ask Eugene if there's ever been any cases in Ireland.
So we had a positive test there last year, and we asked the man, did he want his beef sample done? He said no. So he got suspended for 5 years. I'd say he was given him treatments that contained something that he didn't realise was a banned substance. I was buying stuff over the counter. You're buying stuff that's made in these four countries. It's not giving you what the contents are. If you buy a Panadol, on the back of the packet it'll tell you what's in that Panadol. Then you go, if you're an athlete, you go to your reference book and you see there's anything in there that's a banned substance. So that's the way it is, you know.
And I'm surprised at how far the sport will go to catch the dopers using Olympic-style testing.
Special cage. Put your boards in, the man puts about 10 of his pigeons in, and after a while they do a few droppings before the race. And then take the pigeons back out, slide out the white paper, he's there watching you, you mix all the droppings up, split them into two halves, an A and a B. They go into a sealed container, and it's sealed with a number, and that's recorded on the sheet. And the B is recorded on the sheet. Now, so you have an A and a B sample. So both samples are sent over to South Africa. It acts as a warning that you're gone 5 years.
It's 8:25 a.m. on Pilmore Beach. We're just minutes from the start. The weather is good, the rockets have been launched, and John is racing to pull a protective curtain clear from the trucks.
Once we pull the curtain, we'll have a quick look then,
and make sure all the baskets are, all the seals are gone now. They all are, I double checked already, but just to give them a third little, yeah?
Back home in Clondalkin, JJ, Donna and Robin are waiting for the pigeons to return.
Why don't you have to whistle the when they have to come in?
Yeah, we have to whistle when we see them. And then they'll come and land here on the land board and go in here. I've put food down for them already, look.
Check
it for them. The ones that are already in there. So the birds that are going to come now, they'll see them all eating their food and then they'll land on the board.
2 minutes to go and there's a double check to make sure all the baskets are open.
2 minutes.
John, check all your catches now.
Yeah, I've got to check them all on this side, all on that side.
We're warned to stand out of the way.
You stand in front of them now and you'll be probably in Tallaght Hospital before you know it. It'll be some sight to see these pigeons getting out now. They're waiting, like, you know.
John and Mick hurry into position. They're stood back to back between the trucks, waiting to pull the release levers.
Oi, lads, 20 seconds.
And Mick is going to call the pull.
We're not ready. It's too late. They're all right. There's nothing in them. You can pull that, like. No. Lads, get ready. Ready?
Yeah.
Ready? Pull!
Thank you.
2,000 birds gone. Unbelievable. I'd say definitely it's 2.25 hours. I'd say the birds now, I'd be disappointed now if they're not doing 1,700 yards a minute today. Well, it's a good day today to be bombing in like 4 at a time, 5 at a time, you know what I mean? Fellas, you know?
Back in Clondalkin, Donna gets a text from John telling her the pigeons went at 8:30.
John said the earliest from here was 1:35, but that was old birds, young birds. It normally takes 2 to 2.5 hours.
They're waiting and we're chasing back to Dublin in Eugene's car, trying to track the pigeons along the route.
They went at 8:30 on the button.
On the button, yeah. And you see the mountains out. They won't go to the left, they'll go straight through the gaps. Wherever the lower point is, they'll go. The wind determines what way the birds are going. And if you're on the right side of the city, you could determine you might top the Federation.
Clondalkin is on the right side of the city, which means John has a decent chance of making the best time.
Only when he won the ones from Wales, I couldn't believe it. All the way from Wales to here, it was just like, wow. He's chuffed with us. I'm delighted having him around US. Well, let's hope he does well in this race today.
The birds continue in a tight bunch, passing over Kilkenny, then Carlow, then Kildare.
They're probably around Carlow now, or
until they hit the outskirts of Dublin.
I'd say they're probably well in towards Kildare.
From the kitchen window, JJ sees one coming.
And then it's clocked. Yay. What time is it? See
that? And they're streaming into the loft 2 hours and 13 minutes after leaving Pilmore Beach. It's Sunday morning, the day after the race, and I ring John to find out how he got on.
Hello? How are you getting on?
How are you getting on?
How did the bird get on?
Not bad, yeah. I went on my list there. She was quick enough. They definitely came up the land. It's just, they're just not good enough. I hope this is from 10 to 10:30, they'll be back. And they were back at 10:30, just mine were back at 10:30, the pigeons were though, you know. And mine were back, 10 minutes later, like, you know. You can't let a wreck ahead too much, like, you know, you just have to think about next week's race, like, you know.
He explains that his birds finished down the field, and that it didn't really matter where they finished anyway.
So, I'm just happy to get the birds back then, you know.
The world of pigeon racing has been changed by developments in Belgium and China. But some scenes don't change, like a father passing on his passion to his son.
An egg!
Someone dropped an egg.
This one was only laid, literally, it was popping out of the egg about 3 hours ago.
Yeah, look.
There he is, so hold him. Scissors, remember?
And no one knows what the future holds for pigeon racing. All John knows is there's another race to be run, and another opportunity is going to come along.
Put his legs.
Yeah, through there.
I can.
You can. What are you afraid of? Put your hands through. Grab him.
There. You never know. JJ could be holding a future champion.
No. Grab us with the scissors. Remember, scissors. Boy.
He has got
sharp nails. See, I was in here before, and he just walked in, and he all went.
Thank you.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.